Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Oh, yeah!
Good day, welcome to our single. I'm Bob.
Nailed it, Hoser. How you doing, Paul Charchian?
One I'm of still the, buzzing.
I know, still buzzing, and one of the three finalists in our Guillotine League for All Z Whiskey. Life is pretty good as we head towards Christmas, but
I have lost to Jalen Hurts, the cornerstone of my Guillotine League team.
A critical
component to taking down Josh.
Oh, my God. Of course, Josh is crying tears because he's like, I got A.J. Brown and I got Devontae Smith and a bunch of other assets and weapons for Philadelphia. But, hey, you know what? Gardner Minshew's going to get in there. He's going to start dealing. Watch.
He might.
Maybe.
He might. I don't know that would help Josh, not me. I hope you're wrong.
No, I know.
I hope you're wrong.
Right. For him, that'd be good. For you, that'd be bad. Who is your backup quarterback, mister?
Geno Smith.
Oh, which is shit.
It's not the end of the world. That's, you know, he's had a nice year, but he just lost Tyler Lockett. So, I don't know. I'll be very disappointed if we come up two games short.
Yeah. So here's a real life story from me, anecdote about fantasy football.
Oh, good.
After being knocked out of Guillotine League way early this year, like week four, something pathetic, I began to long and yearn and miss fantasy. And in my little pea brain, I said to myself, self, next year, get into one, at least one traditional league that goes the entire year just to be in a league.
Yeah.
Fast forward to this week, and I see a lot of posts on my internet feed, on my social media feed, of people in regular fantasy leagues talking about, you know, I finished 9-5, and yet I just got beat by a guy who's 4-7, but he won his fake-ass division, which is dumb. And I lost so-and-so player due to an injury this week, and I'm like, oh, that's right.
That's why I don't do this.
That's why I fucking hate regular fantasy.
Yes. And when you're that four, you're like a four win team in December, and especially knowing you, Zabe, you don't have to pretend you care. You know, if you got a bad team, you're just going to get knocked out of your Guillotine League and you get on with your life.
I don't have
to pretend you care anymore.
I know. I think what I really should have done is I should have done the mid-season reset league, which you urged me to do, which is possible in Guillotine.
Yes.
And that would have then slaked my thirst appropriately. Even though losing in Guillotine, getting knocked out, and you're facing it now, you're facing the Guillotine yourself with the Jalen Hurts injury news.
Yes.
It doesn't feel as inequitable as traditional fantasy. It does not feel as absurdly chaotic. which I think really, am I wrong about that? That while it's, yes, random and a bit lucky, it doesn't feel as egregious.
Yeah, you know, luck plays a factor in both. I mean, where guillotine leagues can, you can get hurt with luck is injuries, right? You get like two injuries in the same, you know, early game injuries in the same week, and your chance of getting cut goes up a lot. So there's that. That's the luck part in the guillotine league that's more significant because your season ends. But you know the others. You know, but there's this. You know, there are all kinds of forms of luck anyway in it, and that's right. That's the one that hurts the guillotine league.
What about a regular fantasy league that was structured as follows? I would ask if you've ever heard of this, but I'm sure you have because you've heard of everything under the sun. A regular fantasy league where it's not head-to-head matchups every week. It's points. So you accumulate points on your best roster weeks 1 through 14. And then once you get to the end of the regular season, you take the top X number of teams, 4, mm-hmm. 6, 8, and then you create a head-to-head tree to play the knockout stage of fantasy.
There are leagues that like that. Tell me why that appeals to you. You don't have the randomness of, you know, hey, I was the second highest scoring team this week, and I played the highest scoring team.
It appeals because, A, you don't fall victim to the luck of, I always catch an opponent who has a monster game mm-hmm. against me, which is unfair, patently unfair. Secondly, it at least allows you to grind all year if you're sitting a couple spots below the last playoff spot. To mm-hmm. make a pickup, to make a waiver wire move, to get some juice in your point total acquisition and get in, just like real football.
So there are two ways people will play that kind of league. One is exactly as you described it. You don't. There's no head-to-head, and you just earn the points.
No head-to-head, no divisions. No head-to-head, no divisions.
No divisions. That's right. So that's one of them. You just earn the points that you got that week, you know, so you score 98 points, you get 98 points, and then you just add them all up at the end of the year and create a playoff.
Yeah.
And the other is, let's say you're in a 10-team league. You are playing effectively everybody every week for a win or a loss. And so if you finish in seventh place out of a 10-team league, you'll get 3 wins and 7 losses. And so you're just trying to just accumulate the most wins that you can, but it's no head-to-head that way either. And so that's the other way you can do it.
Yeah, I think that's the only way I'd want to play regular is to just do points accumulation that then feeds into a playoff bracket. I don't mind the high drama and the somewhat quirky one-and-done format of the playoffs because that's how real football is. I just think all year long, and I think arbitrary divisions, even though I used to be a big fan of making divisions and naming the divisions after fired radio station former co-workers. that was a sign.
That's so beautiful.
Oh, yeah. It was the Aaron Trimmer North Division. Who was Aaron Trimmer? He was a guy that used to work production for us. He's gone now. All right. So last night at Lambeau Field, I wasn't there. Yes. I wasn't there when this happened because, Charge, the... Hear that?
I do. Is that your ale coin right there?
The ale coin remains the greatest thing ever, and I used it with Josh to leave at halftime. We were home in such comfortable time to get at least a decent 5.5 hours sleep before the morning show in our own beds that I was thankful for it, and we watched the game on our phones while driving down I-43, responsibly, mind you, listening to the radio call with Wayne Larrivee, and then Josh's phone was using ESPN Plus because you can watch the game on ESPN Plus. He gets the Disney bundle, so he had ESPN Plus. I've not signed up for the Disney bundle, I guess, because I don't get ESPN Plus, and I'm not paying them any more money for ESPN's bullshit, okay? So I then punched into the NFL app. Yes. Not to be confused with NFL Plus app, not to be confused with Sunday Ticket, because Sunday Ticket, even though you've paid for the whole league, doesn't show you Sunday night or Monday night football, which is complete fucking bullshit. And the NFL Plus app is the paid yearly subscription for $99 to get the all 22s and the condensed games and to be able to watch some select games for free over your phone. That's different from just the NFL app, which is available to any slapdick out there. And apparently they'll put live games on NFL app alone. I'm saying all this, Charge, because the absolute Byzantine rules of fucking streaming content in today's day and age is crazy.
And we're expected to keep track of all of that. And right. They all have different rules. They all got the
right
rules.
Yes. Right.
And now, because you're a DirecTV subscriber, now you're allowed to log in to the NFL app and you can see the stream. But if you were not a DirecTV subscriber, well, then you can't. But you can get a handful of these other games. There's so many rules.
And if you think that's bad, if you want to listen to your favorite NFL team's play-by-play broadcast and you're not in the exact area, good luck on that, because then you will have to find it by way of TuneIn Pro or whatever it is.
Oh, Jesus.
And pay a subscription to get it. Or maybe the team's own website has, or own app has, a punch through to their radio feed like the Washington Redskins once had. But sometimes those go away for no reason whatsoever, and it's not clearly marked. It's fucking bonkers. Okay, I digress. So we're driving home. And we see that the Packers get the ball down near the goal line in the waning seconds of the game, up 24-12. Yes. And it's third and goal from the four, or third and three from the four. They throw a pass, Rodgers does, intended for Christian Watson. He didn't see a hand signal, which is quite the topic this week. And the ball falls harmlessly to the ground. And they have a decision to make. Do we kick a field goal, even though the game's basically over? Or do we just go for it on fourth and two?
Right.
Inside the five. They go for it on fourth and two with a running play. They get stopped at the 1 yard line. Now the Rams are out of timeouts. It's first and goal at the one. And Matt LaFleur takes a knee because he's buddies with the other pretty boy coach in the league. The two prettiest coaches right. in the league didn't want to unpretty each other. And so he takes a knee. And everyone who owned Aaron Jones in fantasy football at that point let out a primal fucking scream that could be heard across America.
Yes. Now, there is one whole step that's far worse than that. And that is the guy who, at the end of the game, who is running unabated to the end zone and then slides on his ass at the 1 yard line to keep the clock moving and eschewing the touchdown, which is there was one of those on Sunday. That is
who another, did that?
That is, I can't remember, but somebody did do that. Yeah. And he actually slid. He made the mistake of sliding short of he slid short of like the 2 yard line where the first down was mistake.
Great.
So he tried to pull it off and screwed it up both ways. Didn't get the touchdown and didn't get the first down.
To me, that is at least a little less egregious because it's a smart football play based mm-hmm. on maximizing your chances to win. Clock, yes. greater sign, points. The kneeling on first and goal at the one is just, like in the case of LaFleur, was just, we don't want to hurt your feelings. Boo-hoo, we don't want to hurt your feelings. And that is kind of bullshit. But then again, yeah. if you went for it when you didn't have to, people might say, ooh, does LaFleur have the over?
Right.
Or is LaFleur secretly playing a high-stakes fantasy league with Aaron Jones as his star running back? It invites questions, and guys can get injured on a live play
yes.
at the end of the game. And so I guess the bottom
or
line
the
for
fumble.
Me.
Right? Well, that was the other part. Well, the fumble.
Yeah, you know, they're up 12. You know, a fumble that goes 100 yards the other way. I've seen it, by the way. I've seen it. The Redskins once fumbled at the plus one, and it went 99 the other way from the Cardinals in a game that mattered, too, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah, in a game that mattered, the Redskins fumbled at the plus one, and it went 99 the other way for a touchdown for Arizona. Someone out there, emailers, longtime fanatics, find me that game, find me that play, because I know it happened. Anyway. I am a firm believer, Charge, in win the game with the least amount of effort or damage to your players as possible. So therefore, in a 12-point margin with under a minute to go, no timeouts left by the defense, if it's first and goal at the one, take knees. Because you don't know who's going to get smashed up on a play, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, it makes sense. And here we are, week 16. If you particularly if you think your team's going to be playing in January, you don't want to risk anything. You want to take all the wear and tear off your players, right?
Yeah. All right. Let's talk comeback. the monster comeback by the Vikings on Saturday. First of all, I've commended you already on the podcast this week for being a way better sport than Jay is in these situations, because Jay got all pissy about the USC loss to Utah when I merely texted him, Charge. I said, nervous yet? He responded with a, no, it's early. Very terse. Then they're getting more boat raced, and I go, now, ... are you nervous? And he replies back with a very pissy, oh, so you're that guy. Compare that to you, whom I had to apologize because I felt I had gone overboard being mean to you. And your response was, look, I'm numb to it at this point. It doesn't matter. That was
And it's true, too.
That was at 33-0. Now, walk me through the comeback and your emotional roller coaster as a Viking fan.
So it's 33-0. We're early middle of the third quarter at this point, and obviously, I had chalked it up as a loss, and I tweeted at that point, if the Vikings do not score a touchdown on this drive, they should bench all their starters, which is legitimately true. At that point, if you don't get the touchdown there, then I think you should be thinking about the health and safety of your January-bound players.
Very valid point.
And then they get this touchdown, and they score another touchdown, and at 14:33... I'm still not thinking there's a chance, but then you see all the bad play calling, the conservative play calling. There's no Jonathan Taylor. Next thing you know, this thing's starting to roll the Vikings way, and I'm starting to be a believer because, Dave, this keeps happening to this team. This team keeps doing this. It's playing out the exact opposite of last year, where the team found all these ways to lose all these short, these close games. Now this team is doing it. And when it got to be a one touchdown game at that point, I'm like, we're going to win this thing. By God, somehow the Minnesota Vikings are going to come back, and we're going to be talking about the biggest comeback in the history of the league. And they did it. It's unbelievable. The two best games in the entire NFL schedule this year have been Vikings last week and Vikings against Bills. The most unbelievable comebacks there have been this season. And I get like, you know, you get one of these a decade. Normally, as a part of a fan base, I got two within the span of 6 weeks. It's been unbelievable.
Were you watching alone at home working?
My wife was next to me.
Okay. Were you jumping up and down doing giddy dances like a little kid, or were you?
I was, yeah, there was some high fiving. There was arms in the air. There was some clapping. I got into this. I did.
Okay. Did you ever once think to film yourself watching the comeback to post to social media, or do you feel like you're too old to do that and it's douchey and cringy?
It is. I can't do that. I can't selfie myself in that moment, I don't think. Now, that said, now let's just say, I've never been part of a Super Bowl. You have. You were there for 91 Super Bowl, right? You've been.
I was, quote, there, but I watched that game in California with a bunch of UC Santa Barbara college roommates. And so, therefore, it wasn't nearly as fun as it could have been. I was surrounded by ass. I was surrounded by assholes who wanted the Redskins to lose and lose badly.
That takes a lot of the fun out of it. Jeez.
Well, you know, it did. But guess what? As they started to win, I started talking more and more shit to the point where one of my roommates, Craig Hinchman, turned off the TV sneakily with the remote control and then walked out of the room. And I was like, where is it? Where's it? Where's the thing? You know, like, you asshole, don't do that. Don't be a baby.
Oh, God, that's great.
Yeah.
So, okay. So every year I hold a big Super Bowl party, and, you know, it's like, you know, I don't know, big. It's like 80 people.
That's
like
big.
That. Yeah. So, you know, it's a lot of
people. Thanks for the invite, by the way.
Yeah. You're not welcome. And we don't take your type here.
Fair enough.
And so let's say, hypothetically, if your team's in it, which obviously, again, I've never experienced this, Vikings make it. Would it be weird to set up a camera in some corner discreetly and film one of the TVs where it's going and everybody's reactions as it's happening? Would it be weird, or would you want to have that moment? Would you want to have capture that moment?
Oh, no. If the Vikings make the Super Bowl, you have to set up a camera like that, or a couple cameras, or maybe even put a camera in the bathroom. I'm just saying. I mean, it'd be weird, but you should. Just the bathroom. Bathroom the cam bathroom plus. Yeah. Now, would you tell the partygoers, oh, by the way, there's a camera up in the corner, just so you know? Or would you want it to be sneaky, sort of like a nanny cam? Yeah. Nanny cam it, baby.
Yeah, maybe so you get more like true, you know, and it's not like people are shirtless. I mean, it's not like, you know, women are exposing themselves.
No, but you know what, though?
It's a regular party. There's kids and stuff.
If the Vikings were to finally scratch the primal itch that is no Super Bowls, then you would want that digital asset, that living, breathing, audio-infused memory forever. I think it'd be great. I would love to have a digital asset, even though there was no digital media back in 1983, but I'd love to have video of our family in my ancestral home of 7903 Stirrup Cup Lane, McLean, Virginia. Don't look it up on Google Maps, you perverts. of us watching John Riggins on 4th and 1 break the grasp of poor Don McNeil of the Dolphins and rumble 44 yards for a touchdown. I would love to have it because I remember vividly, Church, we all jumped off the couch and were bouncing up and down screaming like crazy. I wish I had that video, or it would be Super 8 film, maybe. Who knows?
It would have been like those old VHS, that was the VHS era, yeah. Right? And they had the gigantic VHS cameras.
Yeah, we didn't own one of those in 83. That was an expensive item. That was.
I didn't
an item
that
for
either.
Doctors. My dad had a Super 8 film camera, which has the priceless Zabin family memories on it, but that doesn't include audio.
Yes, you're right. They didn't have audio back then. That's exactly right. That's a relic from the late 60s, early 70s. My parents had one too, but nobody was using it in the 80s.
There was an awkward transition where everyone was kind of like, yeah, I mean, what am I, the fucking, what's the Hollywood duo? I can't think today. Maybe it was the Marx
Abbott and Costello.
Who are the black and white silent film stars of Hollywood?
Laurel and Hardy.
Laurel and Hardy? Okay, yeah.
Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, what are we, Laurel and Hardy here, filming stuff with no sound in 1984, for God's sakes? Like, we knew that consumer-level camcorders existed. They were just way too fucking expensive for the middle class.
Right. That is exactly the case. Now, this is something you are holding with you. You've got two Super Bowl wins as a fan, your life. You know, one of the things, and you and I may have talked about this after the Vikings won the Buffalo game, those are the moments that refresh your fandom, that add water to the well of your fandom. And when you go through the droughts and the well is going down and down and down, you need to have these things that bring you back to your fandom for your team. And you need to have these moments. And as a Viking fan, I haven't had many of these.
No,
this is, it's resurgent for my sense of loyalty and fandom to my team.
Also in the mix in this comeback was one of the most egregious quick whistles on what should have been a thumb six to pull you guys within 2 points. That was not fixable or did not get fixed via replay. One of many egregious errors in Trey Blake's crew. He's been, to me, maybe one of the shittier new refs in the league.
Now, there were two. You may have missed the earlier one. Same guy, Chandon Sullivan, former Packer, had two absolute lock touchdowns taken away from him on early whistles. And refs, they've been trained. Do not blow the whistle early because you can't undo a blown whistle. You can't review that. There's nothing you can do. And yet, here we are, two touchdowns taken away from the Vikings.
Man, if you had lost that game, you guys be screaming bloody murder on radio. Maybe you were screaming bloody murder anyway on radio this week, despite the fact that you won the game. I know this, the great Paul Allen, maybe the best play-by-play man in the league. Sorry, Packer fans, for admitting that. By the way, I got yelled at by a Packer fan that I shouldn't have you on the podcast because you're an enemy. And I'm like, bro, I'm 54 years old. I ain't got time for this shit. Anyway, Paul Allen, though, a bit polarizing. He's pretty salty in some of these comments. Here was a minute cut up on Twitter about some of the things he was ripping on, including the referees and the Colts punter. Who's the Colts punter? Whoever he is, he sucks.
The current Colts punter?
The current Colts punter sucks so bad that your boy Paul Allen wouldn't stop talking about how shitty he was.
Fake a punt and blow it. Snap, Hawk, left-footed punt, bad punt. Rager runs up on it. Their punter's terrible. Flag comes in. This referee call, officiating his first Viking game, Trey Blake. I hope you never come back again. Empty snap, another four-man rush. Throws left to Jefferson, who's blasted by Stephon Gilmore, who should be thrown out of the game. Stephon Gilmore should be thrown out of the game for that hit. And he's lucky that somebody doesn't come off the sideline and whoop his butt. And it's intercepted at the 3-yard line. For some reason, Jalen Reagor stopped running the route.
Yeah, get him off the field.
Are you kidding me with this Jalen Reagor move? What are we?
By the way, has the former Eagle who's been a bust, has he sucked?
Which, I'm sorry, who?
Jalen Reagor.
Oh God, he's horrible. He caused both of
Kirk's interceptions.
Yeah, he stopped on Reagor.
Yeah, that's what they're talking about right now.
The second interception that Cousins has thrown trying to get the ball to Jalen Reagor. The other one was the pick.
Notice they don't have Stephon Gilmore on Jefferson anymore. Funny how that works out. Second and four. How the heck is this guy in the league? Bounces at the 15. Of course, it takes a bad bounce for the Colts because their punter's terrible.
Let Jefferson get up.
That's a flag. They threw the flag. Well done. Well done. Well done, you cheaters. Go ahead and keep cheating.
Man, your boy Paul Allen was on one on that game.
I think this is what people want from their hometown announcer.
1,000%. Right? 1,000%. I mean, if you hate on it, it's because you're just, you know, a Bear or a Packer fan that hates the Vikings. It's what hometown announcers should be. Should be like pro wrestling. And I'm actually surprised that Paul Allen gets away with some of this stuff, that he's not called in by the league office to go, look, you can't say, Trey Blake, I hope you never come back. So that said, we got to talk about the other major controversy officiating, which is the Terry McLaurin lining up in the wrong spot call at the end of the Washington-New York game. On a scale of 1 to egregious, I think it's an 11. What do you think?
So, again, the bit on this play is that Terry McLaurin is lining up on the right side of the field, and he's trying to figure out if he's on the line of scrimmage or if he's behind the line of scrimmage, right? And he turns to the referee on the sideline and tries to get a thumbs up symbol, right?
Yeah.
Thumbs up, am I good?
Right.
And referee gives him a nod, right?
It looks like the ref gave him an acknowledgement that he was seeking guidance on being legally lined up and did not give him the overt signal of, no, you need to scooch up to be legal, which is the sort of courtesy, the unwritten rule, per se, as to how that it is administered.
Right. So then McLaurin stays where he is, and then it's the moment the ball's hiked, it's a penalty. And McLaurin is apoplectic, and I don't blame him. Like, what the hell, dude? You just told me I'm okay. And now then rings him up. And of course everybody wants to know why. Why would you do this?
Yeah, it's a bad thing. The league has got to get their arms around this sort of I'm not sure what the word would be. They got to get their arms around the way this is administered. You shouldn't be asking for the referees for help, and the rules should not be so strict and arcane as to penalize for being literally 4 inches off of a mark that you really can't see when you're 20 yards from the ball, right?
Yes, correct. Correct.
But yeah, the thing that really got people crazed was that the referee put his hand on his flag, like reaching for his gun, before the ball was even snapped.
How about that? He knew he was going to ring him up. He knew it.
Exactly. And so, you know, this is where the league has got to be careful, because the one thing the NFL has had going for it, unlike the NBA, is that no matter how bad the calls sometimes get, I don't think anyone has really felt that the NFL's had their thumb on the scale like the NBA does, right?
Well, no, to this, I think for the most part, people don't question the integrity of the league. And when you look at what they did to Calvin Ridley, integrity of the league, right?
Well, I wouldn't go as far to say the league has integrity, but in terms of its officiating, I don't feel like they've got their thumb on the officiating scale to influence who they want to win particular games. But they can't, like, just like they say, the definition of conflict of interest is an appearance of conflict of interest. If you have the mere appearance of a conflict of interest, you have a conflict of interest and you must recuse yourself because the public won't believe that, oh, yeah, you'd benefit by this legislation for a real estate project downtown, but you swear you had nothing to do with it.
Did you see NFL Rigged was trending on Twitter?
Yeah,
right?
I understand why. I don't remember it either. And I'm not saying it's a, you know, primal threat to the league. The league cannot be killed. The league's product is so fucking good.
It's a juggernaut.
It's absolute juggernaut.
They can do no wrong. Exactly. And it's things like Vikings coming back 33-0 on a nationally televised game that half these people check out on. And then everybody, even if you're not a Vikings fan, it's the only game on. The whole world is like, oh, dude, you got to see this. They've actually come back and, you know, whatever. They don't, always drama. They manufacture it in ways that is stranger than fiction.
You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Did you know anybody that ailed the game in Minnesota that left early?
I don't personally. Many people acknowledge it. I asked on Twitter, you know, if you left early or if you turned off the game, you know, what, you know, and now you're coming back, what's your story? And I got a lot of people, including many, by the way, Zay, who left the Minneapolis Miracle game 5 years ago and the Colts game. They left both. Like signature moments in Minnesota history because they don't have a Super Bowl. We've only got these plays in these couple of games that are very big deals. And some people left both early. And what would Zabe have done? Would you have flipped the coin? Would you have simply gone home? At what point would Zabe have checked out?
Here's the thing. The ale coin is not absolute. There are caveats, unwritten rules, exemptions, and other qualifiers. Oh, look at this. And it lands on stay. The ale coin for playoff games is out of play. If it's a playoff game, you stay to the end. That's my personal belief.
Okay.
If it's a Saturday game, which this was for Viking fans, and a Saturday afternoon game, and you've got a beautiful downtown stadium, Am I allowed to say that, Packer diehards? Jesus. Then there's even less reason to leave early because where are you going?
It's Manny's.
A Saturday night.
I can walk to Manny's from there, Zabe.
Well, then walk after the game. So in other words, the impetus to beat traffic is to make your life more efficient and not put you behind the eight ball for work or school the next day or have you sitting in a parking lot for hours on end. I don't think the traffic exodus from U.S. Bank is that terrible, is it?
Well, because it is situated downtown, every block has a light, right? Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of a hassle to get out of U.S. Bank Stadium, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, when we went up there 2 years ago for the game against the Packers and you guys won on the field goal, we stayed to actually see the field goal. Now, we were striding through the concourse when the field goal went through, but that counts as staying to the end. We were not in our seats, Charge, but we were striding to the
You're
door.
You're technically on premises for that.
Yeah, because we had because it was a noon game and we had a 5.5 hour drive back to Milwaukee. So we really didn't want to stay any longer than we had to, but we stayed to the end because we were committed. It was a close game, and so there you go. So that's a caveat to consider. Is it a Saturday game? Is it a playoff game? Where's the stadium? Is it downtown where you could go have a drink afterwards and let the traffic settle down? That's a consideration. But generally speaking, 33-0, you get all the permission in the world to fucking beat it. It's over. And if you miss that historic comeback, so be it. It's a one in, I think there has been 1,200 games in NFL 15, history.
Yeah, 1,500.
1,500 games that have been a 33-point lead or better. And this was the first one that ended up in a win.
That is correct. And this also, by the way, this is also Kirk Cousins now, two historic comebacks in this season, all-time comebacks.
What was the comeback against the Bills?
Down 20 at half.
He was down 24-0 in the first half to the Buccaneers when he was a Redskin. That prompted the "you like that" comments.
Yes.
He guided a overtime drive to beat the Saints in the playoffs in one of the most hostile places in the league against Drew Brees. And now he has this one, but people still think he sucks.
They still think he sucks. Yeah. And that's, it's amazing to me how dumb my fan base is on this particular
it's just
issue.
Incredible.
It is. They've slowly started to, the tide has turned, but here's the funny thing, right? All it takes is like the one interception. When he threw the pick six last Saturday,
right?
I got a stream of vitriol.
Sure.
And they come at me, by the way, right? Because I'm on Twitter. Kirk's not on Twitter, whatever. It's all hitting me.
Actually,
that's all it takes.
He is on Twitter, by the way.
He is. But he doesn't answer those. You know, I'm there.
You're front line.
I'm the embodiment.
Yeah,
I am.
You are the Baghdad Bob. Remember him from the Gulf War?
Yes, I do. That's right.
No. The forces are being repelled outside the Abu Ghraib airport. We have the Americans right where we want them. As bombs are going off left and right. You're the Baghdad Bob for Kirk. But yeah, Kirk is on Twitter because he had a funny tweet the other day. He said, "Can somebody please explain to me the difference between Eddie Bauer, Land's End, and there was a third brand of
like
outerwear.
J. Crew or something?
Yeah, not quite. But yeah. it was three things that was basically the same, and I was like, huh, that's kind of funny, actually. I don't know what the fucking difference is. They all sell flannels. All right, on the way out the door here, Charge, the Willie
McGee. Yeah.
Yeah, what?
Okay,
go
before
ahead.
I hit, one more thing. Just I'm leaving early. So you got, you know, From Virginia, Washington, the Beltway, it's not like you got no cold weather, but you got a taste of a whole different kind of cold weather. And it's not your first time in Lambeau Field in cold weather, but you had it yesterday, right? You had it Monday night. Are you still a wind chill naysayer?
Oh, God.
For years, you were up in my grill about wind chill does not count, feels like does not count. Yeah. And I'm always like, oh, yeah, that's easy for you to say. In the comfort of your living room, Washington. Wind chill's a whole different deal up here in the upper Midwest.
Do I think that wind chill numbers are manufactured hype numbers, stats for weather people to get everyone scared? Yes, I do. Do I acknowledge the reality that 10 miles an hour of wind is enough to get you going to it being miserable? Like one of the reasons the game was so pleasant, Packers and Rams, was there was no wind. It was a cold, but if you dressed appropriately, lovely December night at Lambeau Field, because there was literally no wind raking your face and turning your nose into an icicle.
Correct. It makes all the difference, honestly. You know, we're in the middle of a sizable cold snap here that's coming to Green Bay, by the way.
Oh, blizzard.
You're going to get
late week blizzard. I'm leaving before the blizzard hits Milwaukee, though.
You're going to have to. You want to get out.
Oh, I'm getting out.
Right now it's -2 here.
Jesus Christ.
But there's no wind. -2 is manageable. I can manage the -2. -2 is not that bad when there's no wind. But you're right. All it needs, 10 miles an hour. That changes the whole thing.
Yeah.
The whole calculus changes.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, here was the tweet. He said, "Can someone explain the difference between L.L. Bean, Land's End, and Eddie Bauer?" That's what it was, Eddie Bauer.
That's it. That's and by the way, they could all be the same for all I would know.
Here's one response was Eddie Bauer is for outdoorsy people. L.L. Bean is for indoorsy people who want to look outdoorsy. And Land's End is for indoorsy people who need to brave the outdoors between the parking garage and the office.
That's good. That's a good answer.
That is really good. On the way out the door, holy shit, the Willie McGinnis video is a gobsmacker. Have they fired him yet as of 5:40 p.m. Central Time on a Tuesday afternoon by NFL Network? Yes or no?
Suspended right now. I counted 21 landed punches. And he cracked that guy in the head with a bottle.
Outrageous. Holy. Absolutely outrageous. In a nice restaurant where a bunch of other patrons were just trying to enjoy a nice holiday meal. Fuck Willie McGinnis and his goons to the moon. That's egregious. Settle that shit outside or through other channels, all right? We're not savages. This is a society we're living in, as Elaine Bennis once said.
And what did that guy do? Did they have some history? Because all that he could have possibly done was said a word or two to Willie McGinnis, and he got a 21-punch beatdown. 21-piece
bucket of chicken for one comment. Damn. No, I know what it was. You know what it was. He was fucking a woman. That's all it can be. It ain't over money. You settle money disputes in a different way. It's all about someone getting in with another woman. That's what drives men fucking crazy.
They must have had a history. Must have. And by the way, Willie McGinnis had his goon holding the guy down.
Of course.
Come on. Yeah, that's crap too.
Makes him easier to punch.
A lot easier. 21 times.
All right. Charge, as always, Godspeed, my friend. Merry Christmas.
You're the
love
best.
You, buddy.
You too.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Learn, will you? Take off, eh?
Take off.
Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.